Welcome in to Real Kipper and Bourne. I am Justin Bourne, joined today not by Nick Kyprios, by Sammy McKee. Sammy, how are you?
Hello, Canada.
Good as always.
I know you love me.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. Live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. We're going to have Luke Gazdick.
He's going to walk in. It's going to be an exciting moment where he walks in during the show.
I always love those. Live seating.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the door. I can't wait.
And actually, I'm fascinated to see the seating. I don't know if people will be able to see it at home, but how tall are you?
6'5".
6'5"?
Yeah, 6'5".
Gaz got to be that.
Yeah?
I would think.
Does he still play?
I don't know if he still plays. Is the Zags need a guy? I bet you he'd play.
We could use it.
That's fascinating, too, to me. And actually,
oh, come on in.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Come on in.
It's hot in here, though. You got a vest on. Good luck to you, pal.
Yeah.
Come and join us over there.
Hey, buddy. How are you? Nice to see you.
Welcome aboard, buddy. Come have a seat.
We're on.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the Edmonton Oilers. Obviously, you're familiar with that team. But before you sat down, I was just talking to Sam about who's taller between the two of you. Are you
he's taller?
Yeah.
I've truly never seen him stand up
before.
He's
6'5".
I'm 6'4".
You're 6'4"?
Yeah.
And you know what does fascinate me as well is, you know, you see those linebackers that play at like, you know, 390 or whatever. Then after their career, all of a sudden they're like 290.
Yeah, Joe Thomas. The guy from the Browns who like was
trimmed up.
Oh my God, yeah, he's jacked now.
How different is you've gotten very fit since you stopped playing, but in a different way from your playing weight, right?
Yeah, my rookie year in the NHL, I'll never forget this. The heaviest I played was 248. So I was 6'4", 248. I'm about I'm still 6'4". I haven't changed height, but I'm about just under 220 now.
Yeah.
I was getting to the point where it was out of control. Like Dallas Eakins pulled me aside after my first year and was like, listen, kid, we love everything you're doing, but get on the bike this summer.
So you were the reason they got rid of the donuts for the media?
That was before me. Did he ever cause quite a stir?
Buddy.
He came in so hot. He still tells me to the day, because I ended up playing for Dallas again in San Diego at the end of my career, and he still tells me, he's like, that was just one of the many mistakes I made.
He regrets that?
100%. He's just like, I came in, poured gasoline on a fire that was already going. The vets hated that he took all the snacks off the plane, and that was in the media room that he took all the stuff.
I've been around a lot of media in my life. Don't take away the treats.
But it's funny because, like, you know, there are people who hold themselves to a different standard. When I was with the Marlies, Brooks Light got sent down.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point, he came on the bus. And, like, in the minors, you're going city to city. You got a game one night. You got a game the next night. What's on the bus? Like, boxes of pizza.
Yeah.
You know, it's carbs, some protein.
Yeah.
It's something you can immediately eat. And he came and took the pizza off the bus and was, like, giving it to people. Like, you know, people are around the bus looking for autographs, and he was trying to give away the pizzas. And the team had to be like, we don't care that you don't want that. That's what they need. You know?
That's what they get.
But he was just a different
level.
Yeah. So did you have different coaches over your time there went about those sort of things very differently, I imagine?
100%. Dallas was very much fitness focused. Mm-hmm. He loved the stationary bike.
Personally or for the guys to be on it?
Both. He really didn't try to imprint like too much on guys, especially like the higher end skill guys. He really wasn't like on them too much. But for me, a guy that played anywhere from 4 to 8 minutes a night, like 10 minutes was a really good night. I had like my own USB chip that went into the stationary bike. So after every game, I had to plug in and I had certain rides that I had to do.
Really?
Yeah, it was wild. And then they could calculate, and they had all the data in there. Like after every game, it was wild. I was in there minimum 40 minutes on the bike after every game, full lift, everything.
Wow.
Damn,
the fitness tests were out of control. That was some of the hardest stuff I've ever done.
And that's Aiken specific, not to all your years there?
No.
I went to one NHL camp, and it was the Islanders. Bill Guerin was the captain at the time. And I remember, like, you know, everything was so old school. One of the actual fitness tests was you on your knees, held a medicine ball to your chest, and just threw it as far as you could.
Chest pass.
Yeah, a chest pass of a medicine ball. And I remember Bill Guerin dropping the medicine ball in front of his knees and being like, this is stupid. Like, literally, the captain of the team was just like, what are we learning here? So you can imagine it's different team to team.
It really was.
I got to ask you something. So I saw Simone Benoit on your podcast, Mitzoff podcast, and he mentioned where he loved milk. and he talked about how much he loved milk.
We got him a sponsorship.
Yeah, I was going to say, but now it was like...
True story. But he just did a milk ad.
Everyone's like, run with it. And I saw it on like the Leafs. They did like one of their state-controlled media things about him drinking milk, and he could like nail the percentages of milk. You started the milk thing.
Yeah, we started the milk trend. I rented this space and called him. So he was a teammate of mine for 2 years in San Diego. Yeah. He ends up here. I'm not going to lie. I did not foresee the career of this guy going this way. Heart and soul guy.
I watched the preseason. I didn't necessarily expect it either.
He's just taken off. You gave him a little bit of space, and, and he's doing his thing. But we're doing the pod, and things I'm learning being an interviewer is just kind of letting the, you know, letting the interview go where it will.
Absolutely.
And I had said something. I don't even know what led into it. And he's just like, yeah, I drink milk all the time, like full glass right in bed before I go to sleep. And I literally looked at him. I said, are you joking me? Is this, I said, are you trolling? Is this a joke? Like, he has a pretty, still a pretty thick, strong French accent. Yeah. So I'm like, this is a thing you're doing with me right now. He's like, no. And I'm like, well, what kind? What are we talking here? Let's break it down. Yeah. And he's like, full, like 3.8% milk, full glass before. So they call him the milkman.
Yeah.
The boys call him the milkman. And then like a week ago, or even less than a week ago, I go on Instagram and he's got a sponsored ad with milk.
Well, it has to be the best part of the Toronto market. Like Nola Chari came here and was like, the guys call me Cookie. And Tim Hortons is like instant sponsorship.
Mikheyev with Campbell's Soup.
Yeah. One said, he literally said, I believe, I like soup, or maybe soup is underrated or something. Probably not underrated. He doesn't know that word. But had a soup smush. So that's a very Toronto market thing.
There you go.
So...
credit where it's due. Got the man a sponsor.
Thanks,
man. I appreciate
it. Check it out. A lot of good stuff. Good guests. And you get guys comfortable, right?
Yeah. Try to keep it light.
Love it.
So the Edmonton Oilers, near and dear to your heart, are a bit of a wagon.
Yes.
You know, they're starting to look like the team we thought they were before the season started. But I want to start with the most important thing, a thing you and I texted about last night. Connor Brown
scored
a goal.
Let's go.
I mean.
Let's go.
How did it not happen?
54 games.
Yeah.
88 shots. 13 minutes of ice time per game. I mean, he's a pretty good player. Is that not an insane run to not, like, Matt Rempe has a goal?
Yeah, and I know Connor's a way better player than I was, but the line I texted you last night was like, I understand how hard it is to score in the NHL.
Hold on now. Did you score 13 seconds into your first shift in the league?
NHL record. 14,
really?
I scored in my first game, first shift, first shot, first goal, 14 seconds in.
Oh, my God. You're Mario Lemieux.
Did he go? So I beat Mario's record. He had 15 seconds. Oh, I got 14 seconds.
That is incredible.
So I got off, and Scotto gave me the towel, and he was like, you know, you just broke an NHL record, right? And then he explained it to me. I'm like, that is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah,
that really is.
But honestly, for Brownie, like, I understand it, how hard it is to score in the NHL, no matter how much ice time you get. But if anyone has followed the Oilers this year and followed Brownie, he easily could have been double-digit goals by now. Yeah. And that's maybe pushing it, but he's had a lot of chances. And even, like, Sunday night versus Pittsburgh, he comes down on a 2-on-1 late with Darnell Nurse, who had 2 goals in that game. Probably could have leaned to go maybe short side or tried to shoot to score. They're up 4-0 at the time. And he tries to float it over to Nurse to get him his hat trick. Like, little things like that. I'm like... yeah. This is why
the boys love this guy.
Right? Yeah, the boys love him. And you saw the reaction from the bench last night. Like, the guys are just elated and the fans went nuts. Give Edmonton fans a lot of credit. It's a really tough place to play hockey, especially when you're going through tough, long stretches.
Standing O for Brownie.
Yeah, and, like, they took a little bit of time before they dropped the puck, and it was just a great scene there. But I'm just really happy for him. Honestly, I'll tell you guys this. True, honest story. I was in Dallas 2 weeks ago watching the Stars Oilers game. I was there for an alumni Stars versus Oilers game right after. And so I was at the Crescent, the hotel before, and some of the guys had just started filtering out to jump on the bus, and Brownie was one of them. Mm. And when I saw him, he didn't look great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think
he's used to being a scorer.
He's got a wear on him.
I think I said, like, how's it going, man? And it's like the worst thing you can say to someone who's in a bad mood,
how's
right?
How's it going?
Well, he's not
just
great.
Like, you know, I could just tell he was carrying a little bit of extra weight, and you could kind of tell in his face. And I'm just very happy for the kid. Anyone that knows him, he's a good Etobicoke boy, works his tail off, and very, very happy that he finally found the back of the net.
He actually scored one of the, like, seminal Leaf moment goals when they were playing against Pittsburgh in the second last game of the season, and they needed to beat Pittsburgh to clinch a playoff spot, and he actually scored the goal to, like, go ahead in the final minute.
God, so you have an encyclopedic memory of this stuff.
I can remember this stuff and not my email password. So,
well, he could score goals.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw last night, Mark Spector, who also works Sportsnet, said, you know, Connor, you're not really here to score goals. You're not known as much of a goal scorer. And Connor cut him off and goes,
hold
well,
on
I
now.
Scored 20 goals multiple times
yeah,
in this league.
Three or four times.
That was his answer. And I was like, good for you, man.
That's true.
You still see yourself as having value and being a goal scorer. Like, it just, a lot of stuff wasn't falling.
So you mentioned that you're still around, you're talking to the guys. I wonder, maybe not talking to them, but getting the sense from Oilers fans, this Vegas thing where they're really heading towards probably, that's going to be, the Kings are still there, so I don't want to sell the Kings short, but it is kind of looking like it's going to be Vegas and Edmonton in the first round again. How pissed are people about this? Like, are there any, honestly, like, you ever hear anything for the guys in the team? Or like, I don't really care because it doesn't, I'm not an Oiler fan. I like watching the Golden Knights play. I think what they do is good. But if I'm a fan of the Oilers, I'd be livid.
I think the fans are probably pretty upset at that possibility. But if I'm going to be honest with you, from who I've spoken to, and if I was on that team, I'd be like, bring them on.
Yeah.
You know, let's just get it over with. It's 2 years in a row that they've sent them home packing. The cup runs through Vegas for me anyway. Yeah. Like, you want to win the cup, especially if you're going through the Western Conference, you got to win 4 out of 7 through Vegas. What a better time than in the first round.
Yeah.
I feel like I was out there for the playoffs the last 2 years, both LA games 1 and 2, and that was the time they played their best hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And why not give them the champs right away and knock them off their throne? I think fans in Edmonton are generally upset about everything at all times.
Canadian hockey fans are just kind of like that.
I think the boys are foaming at the mouth for the opportunity to get him again. Earlier the better.
Okay.
It does remind me of like when Washington finally beat Pittsburgh to get through. Like, you know, sometimes you just have this dragon you got to slay, and I do think that's a thing. So there are tons of positives from this season. I mean, my God, Connor McDavid's still the guy. Zach Hyman, another hat trick last night, 46 goals.
Positive from their perspective.
Not a Leafs positive from my boy Sammy over here.
I love the guy.
But so, like, when I look at, like, some of the Sport Logic stuff, and I know you do too, they are head and shoulders the best team in the NHL. They create offensive chances like no other team, and they're one of the best teams defensively. So I want to ask you about, you know, where it could go wrong. Is this decor good enough? Is the goaltending good enough to win a Stanley Cup?
It's a great question.
Yeah, I'm sure they have that question too, in your opinion.
You know, my line at the beginning of the year is something I will probably continue to say till this day is, if they get saves and Skins gets hot, they might win a Stanley Cup. Yeah. They have a chance to win a Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. Their defensive core was probably the part of it, Borny, that I was the most, I don't want to say concerned, but maybe a little concerned going into the year, but Knobloch has figured out their pairs, and I think, one guy doesn't make all the difference, but Matthias Ekholm has been just an absolute rock for them. I think he's taken so much of the weight off of Nursey's shoulders, and he's allowed Nursey not to have to be the guy. Say what you want about guys like Cody Ceci and Brett Kulak. They've filled in, played great minutes. There's at times where even I'm yelling at the TV. I'm like, you know, whatever happens, but they've been solid. And the guy for me too is Evan Bouchard. Like, at the beginning of the year, I just remember thinking like, this is not going well. And there was just a lot of glaring mistakes. And I watched him last night and he's confident. He is not only great on the offensive side of the puck, but in his own zone, it's night and day from where we were at the beginning of the year. Then you throw in guys like Desharnais who came from nothing, basically. And I don't want to say I put this decor up against anyone else's, because Vegas, a team like Vegas, is a nightmare. But I trust them up and down the lineup probably more than I ever have. Mm-hmm. And I just hope Stu can continue to play the way he's playing, because I think it starts and ends with them in net.
It's crazy. You just mentioned, you know, Evan Bouchard struggling at the start of the year and that whole thing. Like, how far they've come. Because I just remember the amount of conversations we had, me included, Dumbo, being like, they're going to miss the playoffs. And it's just, it was so bad at the start. Like, unbelievable. It was a circus how bad it was.
I don't know if a team this good has ever played that bad.
No, I can't.
It was insane. I remember, like, the culminating loss was in San Jose, 3-2. And I had to do the old Sportsnet Central hit after with, I think it was Ken and Ivanka. And even myself, I was so mad. I was like, this sucks. Like, what is this team doing? They're so much better than that. And I truly can't wait to film a couple pods this summer. I'm hoping I can get one of the big boys to come on. Like, Leon would be great because he has no filter.
Yeah. Right.
And just be like, what was going on?
What the hell happened?
I genuinely want, like, I want to ask them and hear an honest answer. Like, there are games and there are times in the season where things just aren't going right, but that was, like, another level. But it's been night and day, and I don't know if you attribute that to the coaching change or just better goaltending or their stars have been better, but it's like a whole different team, and that feels like forever ago.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a lot more fun to cover and watch now.
How has Corey Perry fit in, you know, now that he's had a run of games? Has he been effective down the lineup? Like, they've been so desperate down the lineup to find someone to contribute, and now the additions of Henrique and Sam Carrick and Perry, and it feels like this team is pretty close to 12 forwards deep now, which you can't say in the past years.
Yeah, I think they're struggling on where to play him. Yeah. So he played on the fourth line last night with Carrick and Janmark, and it didn't exactly work. I should be pumping up the fourth line, and I'd say if there was any criticism out of the win last night is that the fourth line wasn't great. They were the only players that were minus. They were out there for a goal. I just don't think I don't want to say don't think he could play fourth line, but I think he needs more elevated minutes than that. And he's great PP2, but there is no PP2 in Edmonton, right?
Or like if Toronto. they get
25 seconds. Like, we got them for an extended period of time. There was a 4-minute minor, double minor for high sticking early, but that's about it. I just think Chris is really trying to figure out where he plays in the lineup. To me, I see him probably second line right wing spot, but Fogle and McLeod have been great with Drysdale, which doesn't look like a great line on paper, but I think once they figure out where he'll excel, he's going to give them a lot. And off the ice too, right? He's the guy who's been there. He's done that.
Yep.
Calm the room down a little bit. So I think it's been overall a pretty positive addition.
No, I was just going to ask about Hyman. I don't even know what the question is. What?
How is this going on? Ron McLean question. Would you just go, Zach Hyman.
But, yeah, Zach Hyman.
You just throw it to him and let him.
Well, it's truly, even for me, like, it's been probably the most fun player to watch. He's been more fun than McDavid for me to watch this year. Because I think I worked with you last week when I was talking about, or maybe it wasn't, whatever. It's not easy to play with Connor. People say like, oh, yeah, he has 45 or 40, whatever he has, because he's playing with Connor. You're like, no. They've tried so many guys playing with McDavid over the years. Not only does he hold you to a higher standard, like, you can't go back to the bench and be like, hey, sorry, bud. He'll look at you and say, don't say sorry. Just do it right. Like, make the play next time. And not only that, but you have to keep up with him. And I think that's one thing that goes unnoticed about Zach is how fast he is. Like, he absolutely boogies down the ice, but he's a driver. He goes and wins battles in the corners. Once he gets the puck, you cannot get the puck off him. And once he gets in the mixer in front of the net, like, it's game over. I haven't seen anyone that finishes, has the ability to finish like that net front in a long time. He's making what he's doing look so easy, and I hope people appreciate how hard it is.
Well, part of it is like the heaviness on his stick and like having a center of gravity as low and strong as his for a guy who's not small.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a dense body that just takes up space. So,
well, who was it that we had on earlier in the year that said he does as much for McDavid as McDavid does for him? And I forget
some
who it was.
Probably.
But there's part of it when I watch the Oilers where it's just the lanes that he opens up for McDavid going towards the net. And the pucks
I think
digs.
It was Rob Brown.
Yeah, it was. But it's just, you watch the way that McDavid has space in the offensive zone and him going to the front of the net and he opens stuff up. The way he gets his stick in the right spot for him to pass it to him, it's just, he does a ton for,
because defenders have to respect him, right? Like, they have to respect him now too. And I know nothing against Nuge. He's been great, but when you throw Leon up there too, like that, oh my gosh, the three of them together is a nightmare. So honestly, just Zach's been really fun to watch. They said on the broadcast last night, it was interesting. I started Googling it after that. He's probably the best Edmonton Oilers free agent signing of all time. And I started looking at the list.
It might be the greatest signing of all time.
That's what I'm saying. And then I started looking and then I saw another tweet later was like, maybe not just Oilers, maybe like all time.
Yeah.
For the price that they're got him at for the term and for what he's accomplishing is insane.
How many years into it is it now? Is this three?
Yeah.
It's like now would be the time where you're supposed to be like kind of starting to worry about it.
Yeah.
And it's just only getting better. He's going to score 50.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
He's easily getting a 50. So
he might finish second. That might be one of our things tonight on the show. Is he going to finish second in the league in goals?
Yeah.
It's a good possibility.
I wanted to ask about a non-Oilers question about Nashville.
Yeah.
Because Borney was on the game last night. I was saying yesterday that if Brunette did what he did with the sphere cancellation, and that was also Barry Trotz was involved clearly or whatever. Yeah. But if
points in 13 straight since that.
If they did that in Montreal or here or in Edmonton, everyone would be like, this guy's the coach of the year. This guy, it's not even talked about because it's Nashville. But that is an unbelievable turn of events to do what he did and then have them have 13 straight. Like, it's crazy. Yes.
I know.
It's not a coincidence. Are you
honestly
crazy?
Even if it's not a coincidence, I'm just saying, like, I agree with you. It's
13 straight games a point.
Oh, my God. Can we not act like it was
such a huge thing?
Yeah, like, it was a thing he did that's great.
You know what? I'll debate you a bit and just say that there's not a lot of moments during the year where you get to do things like that with your full team all the trainers and coaches and everyone involved and together. There's just, like, so few moments that you get to do stuff like that. And I have it on good authority that Bruno actually had nothing to do with that. Like, that was straight Trotzy.
My narrative is dead.
There's GM of the year.
But I mean, coach still has to sign off on it, so I don't want to say nothing. Yeah. But, man, was I ever wrong on that, too? Like, I'm sitting there off air going, like, this team's done. This is the worst thing that could happen to this team. Like, I think I made a bigger deal out of it than I'm kind of on your side there a little bit. But it's hard to ignore what they're doing. I still don't really see them as a contender, but my goodness, they're playing some good hockey.
It's really tough because the top of the West is a meat grinder, and so you're basically throwing Nashville to whichever predator catches them first. So
they'll give somebody a decent
good pun. A predator. Good pun. Totally.
I'd say they give somebody a decent run the first round. Won't win, but they take a game or two off somebody.
Probably not.
Yeah, okay.
You know what's funny though is remember Daryl Sutter said about them, about Colorado, was it a waste of 8 days? Is his line.
Yeah.
Nashville took Colorado to overtime, I think, in all 4 games that Colorado did win. So
there you go.
Yeah, they'll hand in there while they're losing. So looking around then at the West, you know, who's Edmonton's biggest competition? You got Vancouver. Just even keep it in the Pacific if you like. Yeah. Vancouver and Vegas really seem like the top dogs.
Yeah, and I know we spoke on Vegas. I still think they have, I don't want to say the edge on them, but the mental edge for sure. Yeah. Vancouver's the team that is such a wild card. And I've continually doubted them the entire year. And just every time I watch them, they get stronger and stronger. I know they blew the lead last night to Colorado, but even last Saturday night against Winnipeg, a lot of the focus was on Bonus's comments and like how bad Winnipeg played. But I thought it was a great example of how good Van was. And just every time I watch them, I'm just thoroughly impressed. And I think a lot of their success will be dependent on how long Demko's out here. Because I don't know if this is a hot take, but Thatcher Demko might be the best goaltender in hockey.
Yeah, I think
and even going back to my times, I'm sure someone could call me out on this, but Edmonton doesn't play Vancouver well, especially in Vancouver. I felt it as a player. It was kind of said to me even before I got there was the vets when I got there didn't love going into Van. I know they had a different, you know, makeup of the team at the time, but they lost big early this year, and I know they have that in the back of their minds.
8-1 in the first game?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Can you believe that?
Actually, wasn't it both of the first two games?
And then they got smacked 7-something, whatever it was.
Oh my God.
I still think Van is the team that is such a wild card for me. Could go either way in the playoffs, but I think there's another team that I think Edmonton wants to have a little revenge on for early in the season.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough sledding whoever you end up facing. So they're going to get their chance to play plenty of good teams. You know, you live here in Toronto. You follow along closely with what's happening there.
Are we sure we're allowed to do this in this hour?
Well, we're going to try.
We don't want any complaints.
How do you feel about what the Leafs did at the deadline, grabbing Edmondson, Lyubushkin, Connor Dewar? Is that enough to make them, can they win a round with what they added?
Yeah, put it this way. I didn't hate anything they did. Mm-hmm. Like, I liked all the pickups. Yeah. I just thought, like, for once, could we just, like, take a swing at somebody? Mm-hmm. Like, I know they didn't really want to part with their prospect pool and the big boys kid playing in London, obviously, and they didn't want to part with their first rounder, but I would have liked them to just, you know, gone a little harder, maybe. And whether that wasn't out there, I know they said they tried hard for guys like Tanev, but listen, you can't fault any of the moves they made. I think it makes the team better. It doesn't make the team worse. I mean, all three of those guys is going to give you some good minutes. I just kind of wish they would have, you know, sent it a little bit more.
Is it Parayko, or is that the name to you that there was thrown out there?
The one with Parayko that scared me is the term that he has left after this at the age that he is. No, I don't even know who exactly it would have been if I had someone in mind, but...
Well, that's Kipper's thing. He's like, we sit here and talk on the radio. He's like, if you're an NHL general manager, you find the guy that you take a swing with, right? It's like not our job to do that. But I kind of agree with you that you would... It's just, I think it's maybe a product of the trade deadline where you see all the other teams, like I said, you know, big sexy teams getting big sexy players.
Yeah, and you're getting
just
better
like,
around you.
It's like Instagram. You look at everyone else doing great and you're like, why am I not doing
you know, but I just, you know, you see Vegas do what they did, but I feel like there wasn't a ton of teams that did the like crazy stuff and especially their direct competition. Like Boston didn't do a whole lot. You know, Florida gets Tarasenko, but that's just because he wants to go there.
I would hope it would be enough to get them out of one round. I really, really do. I think it depends who they draw. Florida, to me, is just nightmares.
Yeah.
Like,
there is no worse matchup for
them.
There
is not a team that I'd rather see less early if I'm a Leaf guy than probably Florida. Boston's an interesting one, but it's going to be tough to get out of that division as well, man.
It is. So, last one, and then we'll set you on your way. You're on TV tonight, and I'm assuming looking as handsome as you are.
Oh, yeah. No, he just wears this every
three
day.
Three-piece Thursdays,
Matt Rempe, you know, I'm sure you've been asked about him. You came into the league. Yeah. Someone made an impact as a tough guy yourself. What are your thoughts on the first 10 games of this kid's career?
Wagon. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you like him.
Listen, it's hard for me to be hypocritical on him. Because I came into the league in similar fashion. I led the NHL in fights as a rookie at 23. He's 21. But I also didn't elbow two guys in the head in my first 3 weeks.
Yeah. You know? Did you get suspended?
Zero suspensions in 11 years pro. So I understood that there was a line you could play on. There were just a couple things that I didn't like and haven't liked about him. Like, I understand fighting in hockey is kind of archaic. It's starting to become, it seems very barbaric. I still think it has a place in the game at times. Like when a guy like Curtis McDermott gets traded there, his job is to deter stuff like that from happening. So he asks them to go early. I mean, if I'm Matt Rempe, there's just no way I'm saying no.
Yeah.
It feels like it's going to happen.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Even if Laviolette's like absolutely no way. Like if I'm at home at MSG and their tough guy is standing at center ice shaking his gloves at me, like, I'm not saying no.
You're going to deal with the punishment from the coach later.
Like, I'll take the brunt of that after. I'm not saying no in front of all my teammates. And then he goes and throws this massive elbow. And I really defended him the first time with the Bastion hit. Yeah. Like, oh, he's 6'8". Like, it's hard to tuck your elbow. And then it happens again. And you're like, oh, so maybe this wasn't a mistake, right? And then the little wave after I didn't love that stuff either. You're 6'8". You're not 5'8", right? So I wouldn't try to... I don't know, criticize him too much because I understand where he's coming from. I love the intention, but he's just got to be a little smarter.
Yeah, I love what he represents. Like, the idea of him, that kind of guy still existing in a league.
If you love what he represents, you must love the response from fans and people.
For sure.
Everyone is like, yes.
But I hated the four-game suspension game. Like, the one that led to that, I hated it. I just hated all the visuals. Like, he left Bastion bloodied on the ice. I mean, you've done the job. Feels like you should have fought him, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think so, too. And McDermott was really frustrated after the game. And I can understand that, too. His job, like I said, is to deter things like that from happening. So if you're sitting in the locker room after, I'd be like, what am I even doing out here? Yeah. Like, that was my job, was to stop hits like that from happening. And he's probably just projecting some of his own frustrations, but...
For sure.
At least we got a little animosity back. We got some rivalry games. I don't mind that at all.
We got a good text about the free agent signing, the best free agent signings ever. Hyman is second to the Zdeno Chara signing.
He was a UFA when Boston?
Yeah, Boston signed him. It was Ottawa.
Ottawa
chose Wade Redden over him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Brought a cup to be in town.
Yeah, sounds like that's a good one.
That is a good one. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Anytime, guys.
People can check out Luke's podcast, the Mitzoff Podcast, and follow him on Twitter, maybe Instagram, at Luke Gazdick.
So if I go on there, will I get sponsored?
The pod? Yeah, you have to get a product ready.
Talk about TaylorMade's or something like that, and it'll be good to go. All right. We'll be back on the other side. Thanks again for your time, Luke.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Real Kipper and Bourne. A big thank you to Luke Gazdick.
That was awesome.
That was really Yeah. Enjoyed that.
Me too.
13 seconds or 14 seconds into his career, he scores a goal.
Watched it. Watched the clip in the break.
Yeah.
And yeah, backhander. Yep. Love it. A man after my own heart.
And if you would like to watch any of his fights in the NHL, not a man to be messed with.
I would say this. His fight highlights are better than this goal.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's a reasonable comment.
His fight highlights are excellent. Yeah, that's, there you go.
They are.
You want to do some game time, bud?
I do want to do game time.
All right, let me get it here. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. And how many games are on tap tonight? I put it down here. We have 12 games on tap. Big Thursday night in the NHL. I was just looking at this. The first one that pops up to me is the Detroit Red Wings, who are huge favorites against the Arizona Coyotes. I'm like, not again. Not again. I won't do that.
But surely, not to be this guy.
No,
but,
no.
We'll talk about that. Just going to lose all year.
We'll talk about that after game time. I don't think I'm touching that. The game I'm looking at here is the Tampa Bay Lightning home for the New York Rangers. I feel like these two teams really play a lot of good games. Just, I think, back some playoff battles of years past.
Conference final.
Yeah, there's a few. They've played in the playoffs a few different years. The Lightning are -105 on home ice. The Rangers are -115. I don't love that number for the Lightning. I do like the New York Rangers at -115. So I would lean to the road team there with the Rangers to beat the Lightning tonight.
I do find that when I want a team to lose and then I bet against them, I just am too emotionally invested in the game. You know, really, at one point, was kind of hoping Tampa would just miss and save for our Leaf show that headache of them playing at some point.
They're not going to miss.
No, they're not going to
miss. I mean, I'm just looking at the standings here. I mean, they could miss, I guess. But, they could miss.
Detroit's only 2 points back.
Detroit's only 2 points back. There's three teams here. There's three teams fighting for two spots. Like, I believe the Caps are going to fall back down, right? Like,
yes.
I think they're heading south. It's Detroit, the Islanders, Tampa, and I guess Philly if New York jumps up into the Metro Division playoff picture. So, yeah. Feels like the Lightning will still be in the playoffs. A lot of good players there.
Yeah.
Another excellent matchup tonight, Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes. The rematch of last year's conference finals, right, where they swept them and Sam Bennett sent Slavin to the shadow realm?
God.
Maybe the hardest hit I've seen in 10 years.
Yeah, I saw Slavin talking about that hit, too.
He was out before he went down on the ice.
Yeah.
Hammered him.
That was as hard a hit as been thrown in the NHL.
Yeah, Bennett's a nail gun. Give me the Florida Panthers as an underdog, +105 on the road. Carolina really starting to come around here. Feels like they're really, you know, the book's giving them a ton of respect. They got Gensel. I watched Kuznetsov play. They were playing against the Flames, but he did look pretty good. So they're giving him a lot of respect. But anytime you can get those Florida Panthers as a underdog plus money, I think you got to do it.
You don't see many teams get such ubiquitous love. Everyone thinks Florida is like going to be an impossible out in the playoffs. I don't remember. Even when Boston had 136 points last year, it didn't seem as consensus that this is the team to beat. Well, definitely in the East anyway.
Yeah. You know my thoughts on Florida, bud.
Yeah, you love them.
I just think they're to waste 8 days playing them. And the last one I'll give you, this is a more of a long shot, more of a gut bet here. But the New Jersey Devils are in Dallas to take on the Stars. Jake Allen's debut tonight, +155, the New Jersey Devils.
Love this.
Dallas Stars just blew a lead to the Cats.
Ottinger's struggling.
They're a little bit vulnerable to me right now. So give me a long shot Devils, +155 in Dallas.
You ever bet double chance? The one where it's
I don't understand it.
It's just if they tie or win, you get paid out. So if they get it to overtime, you get paid as well. Sometimes I do that for underdogs if they're long odds. But yeah.
And the one other thing we wanted to look at, because you mentioned it, the Leafs, the over, the total tonight is 6, which to me feels a little, maybe you want to tease that up a bit higher. It's -120 for the over, and the under is +100. So they're definitely
be on the over.
They're definitely expecting some goals in that game tonight. So that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary. Bet365 must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right, so yesterday, there's a guy in the league who does media takes without knowing he's doing it. It's Nikita Zadorov.
Oh, yeah. I love this.
This, buddy, this is not like the first thing he said that's like he just kind of talks. And yesterday he gave a take in an interview, which was very much the type of thing you would hear Skip Bayless and Stephen A. yelling at each other about.
We have the clip.
To play?
Yes, we have the we have the Zadorov clip, I believe, Derek. You want to play that?
Best player in the world up there. He's humming right now, so we need to stop him for sure. I think keep doing what we're doing, working as the unit of five, play a strong defensive game.
Everybody talks about David, Matthews, but you've played with him. In your mind, is McKinnon not the best player in the league?
Yeah.
Overall, the total package, speed, release.
If I would have
started a team,
build a team, I would have built around him over those two guys because he is a winner. He won the Stanley Cup for sure.
So he was kind of led in the question, but then he went above and beyond.
Well,
if
see,
I was going to build a team.
I totally agree. And then he also says, over those other two guys. So he doesn't just go, I agree, he won the Stanley Cup, I'd build around him. He says, if I were to build the team, I would choose McKinnon over those other two guys. Talking about McDavid and Matthews.
He sounds like a Game of Thrones character.
Well,
that voice is so low.
He's a little ogre-y. He is, oh, but he's a big person. He's got a baritone situation.
I do kind of wish the Leafs had got him. I got to sit here and tell you, I kind of agree with his take.
You, a GM Sammy starting a team takes McKinnon over McDavid. By the way, no disrespect to Austin Matthews, a great player.
But no, it's not.
It's not.
No, it's not in the conversation to me.
Not yet.
I think it's maybe that the way Connor looks, it's not as, not impressive is the right word, but it's not as like in your face. Like the way that McKinnon plays is just straight lines, fast, digging a hole into the ice, speed burst, hard shots
off the
wing. The
defining images to me is him trying to beat Connor Garland to death with his own helmet.
Yes.
You know, level of passion. That's like,
and you know, he's like chickpea pasta, or he'll kick you off the team. Like he's just a straight killer.
Yeah.
And I love that mentality about him. I know it's crazy to not take McDavid first, but I don't think what our boy Skip Zadorov said is necessarily wrong.
So I would pick McDavid. That would be my choice. But I don't think you can sit here and say it's a crazy take. I mean, McKinnon is favored to win the Hart Trophy this year. Just won the Stanley Cup. He's leading the NHL in points. He, again, has tried to beat someone with their own helmet. There is a laundry list of reasons. You'd say, yeah, a totally reasonable take. And to dethrone McDavid as the obvious choice just really speaks to what McKinnon has become.
Yeah, he's got 115 points already.
Yeah, and that's, you know, he plays the game the right way, too. Like, he's not someone who's cheating the game. I'm not saying the other guys do, but.
So, plug your ears, Vancouver. Okay.
Okay.
I can just picture, I guess, well, can they play in a playoff series, right? They're eligible to play in a playoff series at some point, those two teams.
Yeah, it'd be round two.
Round two.
Or sorry, round three if the Central and the Pacific come together.
No, Oilers and Vancouver. Oilers and Vancouver could definitely play in a second round.
Oilers and Vancouver. Yeah, I thought you were doing Colorado.
No, my bad. I got my divisions mixed up. So there's just plug ears, Vancouver, like I said, that get to the second round. And you play the Edmonton Oilers in the second round of the playoffs. First game, they go in there, and Connor McDavid scores a hat trick. You go down 1-0, and every Edmonton Oilers fan is being like, "Oh yeah, is Nikita? Oh yeah, you think McDavid? Like,
yeah."
It's like the blowback option of this, where players and like, if there's a thing I don't necessarily want to do, it's give bulletin board material
to Connor McDavid,
the guy who literally is maybe the greatest hockey player of all time.
Yeah.
It's just a very dicey, dangerous game to me.
It's really talking trash to a murderer.
Yeah. You know? It's like, you won't kill me. Come back. You won't kill me. I just, careful, Nikita.
Yeah.
I love that you said it, and I love what you, I really appreciate it. But you got to play that guy maybe second round.
It is funny. It is funny because there is this great temptation to act like the coach and be like, don't do that.
Yes.
Don't do that. We don't need you to do that. But on the other hand, you know, we always complain. Want to hear guys give their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think guys, hey, speak it freely. I think it's a reasonable take.
And they also play together. McKinnon and Zadorov,
so
their buds. For sure. But be careful with talking trash
to McDavid. Seems a little bit fiery. For sure.
Want to talk about the Red Wings?
Yeah, is this our spot? Let's do it. Let's do Red Wings.
We haven't really addressed this a ton, but they've lost six in a row now, the Red Wings.
Is it seven? It's six, yeah.
There's a fight at practice.
I love that.
I know you do. Are you saying that you've been in a practice fight?
Multi.
Wow,
yes,
multi.
I've been in two or three
bad
practice
teammate.
Fights. Well, you know what it is I can see myself being the bad teammate in this situation, like Lucas Raymond. So it's Ben Chiarot and Lucas Raymond.
You just know exactly what happened
here. Well, almost all of my practice fights came from a drill in front of the net where your own teammate is giving you like lower lumbar cross checks.
100%.
And you spin around and take a swipe because, you know, F off.
Yeah.
We're teammates. We
enough of this.
This is just not the spot. If you're Detroit, you're trying to ramp up the competitiveness. You're losing. You got a guy like Chiarot. That's how he tries to drag the best out of people. And he ends up in a fight with Lucas Raymond at practice. I'm sure the team is like, yeah, we're in favor of that. But I get why Lucas Raymond would be like, hey, maybe let's not.
So a big reason that they've been struggling is Dylan Larkin has been out for an extended period of time.
That hurts.
We talk about most underrated guys in the league. I actually feel like he could be one of the more underrated guys. And he's just, every time I watch them, he pops to me. He's an excellent player. He just drives play. Go ahead.
But my question, though, Dylan Larkin, has he emerged? So when you're a bad team and you're rebuilding, the first good player you get, everyone is like, all right,
build around
Dylan
him.
Dylan Cousins.
Yeah.
Dylan Cousins is our guy because we're Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Dylan Larkin, has he taken himself away from, he's just the best player in Detroit, to being one of the best players in the NHL, a true difference maker? Do you think he's in that tier now?
I love him. I really do. And he's, he's 54 points, 55 games so far this season. He's had a good year. I do like him, but you're right. I mean, he's maybe not on the upper echelon, but is he going to be, if he's your best player, are you going to win a Stanley Cup? I'm not sure, but I do like him. But I was looking at their cap friendly, not the best looking cap friendly page.
Is this going to be an Yzerman take?
I don't know. I respect Stevie Y. I think he's, they've kind of turned it around here a little bit. They're better. Like, are they ahead of schedule? Are they on schedule? I just don't quite know what the plan is.
Because there's no obvious like bright stars on the team where you're like, okay, they're coming.
To me, last year, getting half decent was stupid.
Well, so I disagree there. I think at some point you got to try to win and be in games that matter, and you can't say that they're not. You know, Andrew Kopp was expensive and Chiarot was expensive and, all these guys.
Listen to some of these contracts are kind of crazy. Kopp is until 26-27 at 5-6. JT Compher till 27-28 at 5-1. Robin Fabry
at the time was one he added as well.
Justin Hall for 3 years at 3-4.
That's a tough one.
Doesn't play. Ben Chiarot is 4-7 until 25-26.
Maybe he struggled a little bit here.
I just don't know the direction of this team because it was like they're building and it's the Yzer plan. And then all of a sudden it's just like, here's all these overpaid guys.
And those guys are going to be not great at the time you're hoping and
I just thought sort of getting good last year when they did, or like trying to get good. Just wait, there was this guy at the top of the draft last year.
Yeah.
Could have been bad one more year. I don't know what the direction is for them. And I kind of hope they get into the playoffs and I hope that they kind of pull out of this because I think it's better when the Red Wings are relevant. They're one of the storied franchises in the league, an original six team, obviously. But I'm just not sure.
They beat the breaks off your Leafs every time they play.
Well, no, that's not true. But they have a very interesting cap-friendly page.
Fair enough.
And I don't want to bury Stevie Yzerman, but it's just not looking excellent to me.
I think that's a reasonable take. I do want to get to another story from a Canadian market. And by Canadian market, I mean we said stuff in Canada up here, apparently, that Eric Karlsson didn't like.
Oh, yeah. We had that clip. You want to play that clip for us, Eric?
Yeah, that's Canada for you. Played there for a long time, so I kind of know how that game works. They got a lot of things to talk about every day because they got a lot of airtime, but very few things to actually discuss. So they like to, make up these, what-if scenarios, and that's just the way it is, and it's not something that I really, look into or worry too much about.
I'm offended by the words make up.
Are?
I am offended.
I'm not.
The report that what we're talking about here is, I think we've had Friedge has mentioned
multiple times.
Karlsson potentially, with Ottawa, and Alfredson's back in the fold, and he's familiar with Karlsson. Could there be a fit there? And so Karlsson's upset, saying that people are making stuff up here. Gotta tell you, doesn't come from nowhere.
Yeah.
No, you know, I just isn't sitting here at home doing, you know, pulling a random team and a name and going, maybe these two.
No, I will stand with our boy Friege too.
Yeah.
And this is just such a classic Erik Karlsson, like, oh, that's Canada. You know what? This is, he's in his perfect time now where it's like they don't, none of their games matter. And he's like, oh, it feels like I'm in San Jose again. Point night again. Like, perfect for Karlsson. You know what? There's no better Matt. I send him back to Ottawa. Sure. See how that goes.
It is strange, you know, the addition to him in the first place didn't make a ton of sense. It'd be wild to me, then immediately say, you know, we're going to try to get rid of this guy.
Of the physical healing process.
I don't even, what is that drop?
I think that was just his computer was still on.
I do think it's just so far-fetched to think that, you know, he ends up anywhere other than Pittsburgh trying to see this thing through.
I will say,
where
though,
it's been pretty imperfect.
I will say, though, if it, you know, Dubas, if there's one thing that Dubas has the skills and has the ability to do is admit early on a mistake and pivot, right? Like, you think back to here with the Nick Ritchie thing.
Yeah.
Signs Nick Ritchie instead of Zach Hyman, by the way.
Wasn't A to B on that, but it's,
well, I mean,
A
the other
C.
The other $3 million went to Peter Mrazek, so he had to figure that out. And Andre Kasha. Sure. You want me to keep going? I can remember this stuff. I think that he can find a way to admit that he was wrong and pivot and trade a guy.
Yeah.
And it's clearly, I don't know why he thought it was going to be a personality fit in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know Erik Karlsson personally, but like, I think we've gathered enough.
Like, him and Burns didn't work great.
And like, well, like Kipper's like tent pole takes is that just, it was stupid to have those two together. He's always talked about that. To bring him into that room and just the point that they're at, just, I never liked it. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe Dubas is like, you know what? Maybe he was the one who's like, yeah, we're trying to trade him.
Yeah,
you know, like, I wouldn't be the worst thing, but I could see him moving on from him. Maybe not to Ottawa, but if someone's going to be like, we'll take that money, he'd be very happy to trade it, I bet.
Yeah, not a lot of people who can take $10 million for a defenseman. Friedman's was 21, but 32 Thoughts came out today, and he wrote a little bit about Sidney Crosby and how he can't see him leaving. Well, you know, Letang and Gino and all those guys just signed. But I do think the one takeaway from Friedrich's piece that I really like is, like, you got to give Dubas just got there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you got to give him a chance to turn it around, to see what it'll look like. You went all in again with the guys, with the veteran guys, and it didn't work. First thing is he does is flip Gensel for three prospects who are just about NHL age, whatever. I think it's worth Sid hanging around there, seeing if Dubas can figure something out for a year.
Boy. You're still preaching at the church of Dubas. I know how this goes, but he traded their top guy for a Sioux Greyhound and three small prospects, okay? I don't think there's anything to learn.
How about Pittsburgh, the bobblehead thing? Yeah, the Yager bobbleheads get stolen. Did this end up being a bit?
I don't know. Borny, you ghost wrote a tweet for me. You sent me a joke, and I tweeted it.
But, downgrading the carrier size from a big rugged one to a small, fast carrier for the bobbleheads.
We've done enough, two of us.
We have.
If there was the golf thing, what was it, PIP, the PIP, where it's, you get paid on how much you get talked about.
We'd have earned him some
money. Is 100% winning it in hockey. On hockey Twitter, there can't be a more discussed guy. Off the ice, at least.
Fair enough. All right, well, lots of action tonight. Toronto at Philly. I know you're going to have your eyes on that.
Oh, yeah. Leafs talk after, baby. Oh,
post-game with J.D. Bunkus. Thanks to Anthony Petrilli, Charlie O'Connor, and Luke Gazdick for joining us today. Tomorrow, we will be back for Off the Rails Friday.
With Gordo.
Gord Stellick.
Let's go.
Dougie Mack. Should be a good time. Thanks for tuning in.